The Holy Gospel according to St. John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. We invite any of our young people forward for a message with Pastor Paul.
God gave us all these rules to be reminded of how much God loves us, and all of these rules guys will repeat after me. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
And keeping us safe.
And keeping us safe.
And giving us rules.
And giving us rules.
To care for one another.
To care for one another.
Help us.
Help us.
Do our best.
Do our best.
To be our best.
To be our best.
Each day.
Each day.
We love you, God.
We love you.
Amen. Thank you all for coming up. And remember, the running rule applies here too.
Thanks, Emily.
Good crowd.
What they got?
Let us pray. May the words that dwell before us sink into the souls of all who hear and speak your truth, O God. Amen. Sometimes I don't wash my face before I go to bed. No one can make me do it. It is my choice and my choice alone. It is my subtle protest, my own decisive action that gives the illusion of some semblance of control. It is my face, and I will decide when and if it gets washed. This silly self-tantrum screams, I am in control, even if only in this small way. This grasping for control stems from being human in a world that often makes me feel powerless. I am the master of my own face-washing dominion. No one can take that away from me. You see, being human is hard. Our bodies betray us with messy hair and morning breath, aching joints, bad backs, and pangs of lived life, lest we even get started on the messiness of the emotions that accompany the human condition. Some days, we can't figure out if we're happy or sad, frustrated or indifferent, excited or terrified. Have you ever had one of those days when tears creep in and sit on the edge of your eyes, just waiting for their moment to erupt? And when you try to identify what exactly you're feeling that invited them in the first place, you can't even begin to articulate why, which then just adds fuel to your emotional frustration, and thus the cycle continues. Being human is hard. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the Transfiguration, the day that Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, make their ascent up the mountain. Once at the top, a brilliance washes over Jesus, and the voice of God declares, "This is my Son, whom I love." In this moment, we see the intersection of Christ's human nature and the divine radiating from the person of Jesus. And now, in Lent, we live into the tension alongside Jesus, who feels the whole range and depth of humanity. In this Lenten season, we embrace the humanness of the divine Jesus, the God who experiences suffering in the desert, the God who struggles in the wilderness with the persistent voices of temptation to embrace worldly desire. So I'll say it again. Being human is hard. The good news is that being fully human and fully divine, Jesus knew this as well as anyone. In the incarnation where Word became flesh, we are invited into the full range of human emotion, first modeled for us by a God who willingly chose to experience the depth and messiness of humanity. In the incarnation, God entered not just the beauty and wonder of embodiment, but also into its complexity. And now here we are today with an angry, table-turning, coin-throwing, whiplashing, vocally frustrated human Jesus. A far cry from the radiating Jesus on the mountain, or the Jesus that lovingly welcomes the children, or the Jesus that breaks bread with his friends. In the gospel today, Jesus goes up to the temple to prepare for the Passover feast. He is, after all, an observant Jew, faithful to the law of Moses and the sacred festivals. As he enters the temple, he is distraught upon seeing the merchants lining the walls, selling sacrificial animals and making a market of personal gain out of the holy space. As a faithful Jew, Jesus has no qualms with purchasing animals for ritual cleansing and sacrifice. What Jesus does seem to take offense to are the economic practices that appear to hijack the experience of atonement by providing an easy and cheap grace. As a result, Jesus leans into his anger and reacts in a way that at first glance is unbecoming of the Messiah. This Jesus is unfamiliar and hard to wrap our minds around. If God is love and love is manifest in throwing coins and whipping cords, this Jesus then feels distant. The reality is, this Jesus embodies the parts of ourselves the world tells us to hide, the reactive, angry, and emotional sides of ourselves. This Jesus openly expresses the parts of ourselves that the world names as shameful, the parts of ourselves that seem from the outside as unworthy. In Jesus' reaction in the temple, we see the reality and depth of humanness that the world deems unruly. Today, Jesus is angry. While the word anger sounds harsh, the Greek translation of anger, or orgizo, can also mean provoke. This is worth remembering. Amidst the obvious emotion of love is the juxtaposing emotion of anger. This seems counterintuitive. But what if another way to be in community, to be church, to imitate Christ and live out our story as children of the triune God, freed in our baptisms and fed at the table to be in community in real and messy ways, is to get angry? To be provoked enough to enter a relationship of care for our community, where hypothetical table turning and coin throwing is an act of love. To encounter something so provocative that you feel moved to your action for your neighbor is powerful. Provoked by the brokenness of our humanity, God sent the Son for the sake of the world. That is a compelling story of love and something to be imitated, even if the world deems it indecent. And that is what Jesus does in the temple that day. He gets angry. He is provoked. And this response, the one that seems foreign to the loving God we have come to know through the person of Jesus, is actually a compassionate anger in defense of his beloveds. Not an anger directed towards someone, but in defense of them. There's already enough anger in this world. You can find anger on any cable network, any conversation at the coffee shop, and in all the places that trolls lurk. I want to be clear that that is not what we are called to. Rather, we are called to the deeper definition of orgizo. We are called to push, prod, and provoke in the name of Christ. His anger is an act of love, and so too is ours. Notice what is thrown out when Jesus is provoked: the cattle and sheep, the doves and coins of the money changers. It's important to look at the original word that is used here. The Greek word ekbalo, meaning cast out or throw out, is the same word we find when Jesus is casting out demons. It is also the same word that is used to describe how Jesus was thrown into the wilderness for these 40 days. Jesus understands the strength and emotion of this word both as the actor and the recipient. As important as what is gone is what remains: the people. Jesus did not dismiss them, but instead drove out the source of cheap grace. Jesus, in his orgizo, continues to invite humanity into the fullness of God's story through the redemptive action on the cross. There is no need for cattle, sheep, doves, or coins. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, and therefore we are free to also feel the pangs of being provoked. See, this is where our human foolishness begins to creep in and muddy our interaction with free grace. Much like my trivial display of power over deciding when and if I wash my face, those in the temple seized the opportunity to feel some sense of control through the temple market, to be in control of their own salvation. It is our human foolishness, as Paul describes in the letters to the people of Corinth, that leads us to believe that purchasing sacrifices or doing works are what allow us to attain God's favor. But what Paul has to constantly remind the Corinthians, and what we need to hear today, is that it is not our doing. It is not ours to attain. It is not ours to control. It is Christ who acts on our behalf. The orgizo that Jesus displays in the temple, as human as it was, reminds us of the control that God has to drive out all that distracts us. More importantly, it reminds us that God draws us in when we feel like we have been thrown out. When the world tells us that we're not enough or that the messiness of our humanity is unwelcome, Jesus in the temple reminds us that we are freely invited, no doves or cattle required, to the fullness and power of God's grace. In Christ, we see the gift of God's sacrificial nature. At the table and at the font, we encounter the fullness of that invitation with no strings attached. Jesus gathered with his disciples that day in the temple to faithfully prepare for the Sabbath. As God gathers us in on this Sabbath day, the Holy Spirit prepares us to go out and engage those who have been thrown out in this world around us. It may be uncomfortable, but the gospel frees us to act in love. And perhaps that means we must be provoked a little. We provoke in love just as we saw Christ's love through the human emotion of anger. In all the ways the world casts out, Jesus will always draw us in. That is the peace and power we can count on, washed face or not. Amen.